blow it up.
Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
All right, well, buckle up. Very few of my sermons do I start with strap on and buckle up. But today, you need to buckle up, okay? So last week, I kind of prefaced where I'm going in the next few weeks by saying that when I was in Costa Rica suffering for Jesus on my honeymoon with my amazing husband, I was praying about the beginning of this year, and I'm going to make this quick, 2024, and the Lord had given me a word that this is the year of so much more. He said, you're going to see so much more in 24. And that's the good stuff, by the way. And anytime the Lord gives me a word, usually the enemy starts fighting us in those areas, and we see the exact opposite happening. And so we need to hold on to the word, not what we see. That's part of our faith walk, is that we believe God irregardless of what we see. Amen. But he also, as I was sitting there, I just, God speaks to me in my spirit. It's not like I hear voices or anything. But it was just, take a look at a series you wrote back in, it was like 7 years ago, called Stay Out of the Traps. And so he also has said that, in order to receive the more, the so much more, we need to be wise about what hinders and what blocks the flow of God's blessings, the flow of God's, healing power, all of these things into our life. And there's several things that I won't camp on all of them, but many of you who know me know that I have this famous saying, that prayer moves, come on, say it with me if you've heard me say it, prayer moves the hand of God, and God's hand moves everything. Amen. So prayer moves his hand. So we know we have to pray in faith for things to start moving into our life. Everything that we receive from God and from heaven, it comes by prayer and it comes by faith. But Peter, he was talking to husbands, and there's a lot of other scriptures that says, don't get into strife with your wife. He's talking to the men there. And there's other instructions. Don't get into strife and this, unforgiveness and this conflict, because anybody know what it does? Students, what does it do? There it is. Say it. It hinders your prayers. So if prayer moves the hand of God on your behalf, then there's something that can hinder him from working in your life. Lack of faith, right? But also, you can have faith to believe that God will and be in conflict and offended with someone and bearing a grudge against them. And even though you're saved as Billy Graham and you're on your way to heaven, and you will be in heaven, you will go to heaven, even though you've got offense in your heart. But the blessings and the flow of what God wants to put into your life will be hindered. You won't have the same level of success as someone who does what I'm going to teach you today. And that is, they don't take the bait of Satan. Amen? And the bait of Satan, John Bevere wrote a whole book about it. There's study guides, and like I said last week, I would encourage everyone who believes in Jesus to read the bait of Satan one time in your life. And if you, are like me, read it again and again, because we need to be reminded. And why am I doing this right now in this My Church series? I'm doing this because Jesus painted a picture of a church at the end of the age when the world's going crazy and there's cataclysmic events, you know, weather-wise and earthquakes in diverse places and wars and rumors of wars and all of these things that we are experiencing today, he painted the picture of a church that was going to have the same level of strife, maybe even more so, and brokenness and fighting as the world experiences, and it was going to start to creep and seep into his church. Why? Because the enemy hates the church. The church is the strong, and I'm not talking about a building and, you know, just a denomination. I'm talking about real people that love Jesus and have believed in him by faith, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who are what he calls his body, his church. And there's a warning there. He told him, brother is going to come against brother. Yeah? Son against father. Daughter against mother. There's going to be all of this stuff that's going to happen, and offense is going to come. It's not may, well, it might come. It's going to come. And it's going to be at an all-time high. And so as I was praying about all this, the Lord said, I want you to go back and visit this trap series, and I want you to bring this in, because this is the year of so much more for my church. But I'm doing a heart check right now with everyone. And I don't even need to ask the question. I know by the Spirit that you, many of you are in battles right now that are have just bruised your heart, have hurt your heart. People turning in just the craziest way against each other. We ran into a local doctor last night, and he, you know, just buried his father, and he said, I just lost two of my brothers. They're fighting over money. They're fighting over, you know, this and that, and here he's broken, and the family's divided. And God is putting his finger on the heart of anyone that will listen and say, no matter how crazy they're acting, you may hate the behavior, and that's okay to hate the behavior. But hating them in your heart and opening the door of unforgiveness in your life and starting to allow those bitter roots to take root in your heart, it is not optional for you if you want to be successful in this hour. Okay? And so, number one, God is building, he's developing a mature church that has learned to love and lead with an unoffendable heart. You know, I love my grandkids. I love spending time with them. They just get all bothered by the slightest things. Why are y'all laughing? You know, Pastor Lissa knows she was the children's pastor for the longest time. And, you know, children act like that. They just pitch a fit and get upset, and it sometimes takes them a while to reel themselves in. And what do we tell them? Tell them you're sorry. Y'all get along. How many of you heard yourself saying that? I just can see God up there, the Father, going, tell them you're sorry. Y'all get along. Yeah? Because he's a dad. He's a dad. How many dads in here? And you just want your kids to tell each other they're sorry and get along. But there's a key here that I'm trying to get you to focus in on, and I've been talking about how that faith works by what? Say it to me, students. Faith works by? Say it again. Faith works by? It works by love. When you know God loves you, when you know God has forgiven you, when you know God has been merciful to you, you can trust him. Amen? But also, when we receive that love from him, in spite of all of our flaws and our failures and our weaknesses, I hope you know that. He loves you even when you were yet a sinner in opposition to him, completely against him. He still loved you. And he loves you right now. If you're in that place, he loves you. He never gives up on you. He never quits loving you. Real dads don't do that. They don't give up on their kids, no matter how crazy they act. And he has given us this mercy, right? He's given us this love. And when we've received the love of God, and we know that we didn't deserve it, we didn't deserve his grace, we couldn't earn it, when we've received that for ourselves fully, and we embrace the fact that no matter what we've done, we're loved. And we understand the mercy of God. We cannot totally receive that and then hold someone else's offense against them, because God has forgiven us of every offense. Amen? Ephesians 5:27 says this, and I'm talking about a mature church, and this God is wanting his people right now to come into a level of maturity where the stuff that used to just flip us out and make us all kinds of crazy, those unmeasurable shades of crazy, doesn't mean that it doesn't affect us, but we're quicker, right? We know we're not supposed to run our mouth. We go, oh my goodness, it hurts. And they're being antagonistic against me, or they looked at me the wrong way, or they said something wrong to me, or they actually really did me wrong. We're quicker to go, aha. That is the enemy working through them to try to get me into offense against them so that I'll take the bait of Satan and I'll end up in the trap, unsuccessful in my walk, and I recognize this. And I know what to do. I know what to do with this. Let me read the scripture. All that he does, talking about God, that capital H means God. All that God does, all that love does, I like using love as the replacement word right here. All that love does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. Well, none of us are ever going to, be perfectly flawless. But when we're in God, He begins to make us beautiful. All those ugly places in our life, all those rough edges, all those blemishes, all those things that we used to be known for, He begins to come into our life and soften us in these areas and make us more beautiful. I still confess that I'm a little thug and a lot more holy than I used to be. But, I know God's, I know I have a relationship with Jesus because I don't act like I did before. Amen. Otherwise, I'd have plugged a few people recently. I would have. I was thumping thugs and doing drugs, and now I don't thump thugs no more. I pray for them, and I don't do drugs anymore. I pray for them, and I told the team this morning, I'm here to get wired, and they put this thing on my head, but, it's all different now. I'm not who I was, and I don't act the way I don't go straight to blows and fighting people and taking revenge and doing all of those things anymore. I take everything that hurts me to prayer. And even in my praying, and I'm not perfect, but even in my praying has changed. Because I used to be like, God, do this, this, and this to them. How many of you pray these prayers? David, yeah, do this to them. David was crazy. He was like, burn down their house, blot their names out from under heaven, give them the fleas of 1,000 camels in places that they can't reach, just all kinds of things. But our prayer changes as we begin to mature. Instead of, asking God to pour out wrath on them, which we know we've escaped the wrath of God through Christ Jesus, we're not asking him to, pour his wrath out on them anymore. We're asking him to deliver them from the things that's going to destroy their life. Amen? So, 1B, mature believers recognize the bait of Satan, which is offense, and the trap in which it lies. It is Satan's most effective trap because it hinders our prayers. It stalls our forward momentum, drags us backward, and kills our relationships. And it releases toxic bitterness into our soul. It not only defiles us, but everyone around us. And the scripture from Hebrews 12 says just that, 12:15. It says, exercise foresight. In other words, when you exercise foresight, you see it coming. You see it before it actually gets a hold of your life. So exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, cancer, this is in the Amplified Classic, that word rancor means cancer, that no cancer, no bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by that. So this thing, once we take the bait and we ingest it, it becomes a cancer in our soul. It becomes a bitter root. And that bitter root pretty soon begins to shoot forth from your life, and it's not just you that's defiled by it anymore. It's many. And I've seen families torn apart by this, and I've cautioned the church for years. If you don't take it many times the first time, what'll happen is the enemy will hurt someone next to you that you care deeply about. If he can't hurt you and get you to take it, he'll hurt someone you love. And for me, the hardest thing as a mother is when somebody hurts my kids. Hello, parents, talk to me. Okay? Because once they're offended by something, that's firsthand offense. If I don't instruct them in how to get rid of that and have them forgive and talk to them, talk them down off the hill, then I take on their offense, and that's secondhand offense. And that is a double demonic cord. And the devil knows the power of agreement. The Bible says that if any two agree, come on now, if any two believers agree as touching anything on earth, so when we come in agreement with prayer, it says whatever they ask for, it will be done. It will be done. That's why husbands and wife, you need to stay in agreement. The most powerful agreement in the universe is the agreement between a husband and a wife. And sometimes you got to agree to disagree. But what I'm saying is you don't be disagreeable even though you don't see it the same way. You don't get into an argument and a fight and strife and everything that begins to divide you. And the enemy is working. He's working on whoever he can work on around you. If he can't get you, he's going to get your son. If he can't get your son, he's going to get your wife. If he can't get your wife, he's going to get your, you know, your best friend or husband or whatever. He's always working. He's circling constantly. And he's saying, who can I get to take the bait? And then once they've got the bait, I can destroy their life. And so science now has proven that when a person mulls over and ruminates on offense, on hurtful things, on painful things, when their mind just ruminates and it's just going around and around and around in there, that everything that happens in the stomach and everything that's happening in every other organ of the body is coming from the brain. In fact, I taught you on this. The only organ in the body that has brain cells in it is your heart. So it goes from your brain into your heart. That's why the Bible says to guard your heart above all things, because out of it flows all the issues of life. So brain cells go to the heart. What does the heart do? It pumps the blood to every other organ in the body. Yeah? Every organ in your body has heart cells in it, but it doesn't have brain cells in it. That's why the Bible says to gird up the loins of your mind and to take captive every thought that does not align with God's word. I guarantee you that God is not saying, stay mad at that person. Stay offended with that person. I know he's not, because he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Amen? God is not going to come in alignment with us saying, I just can't forgive them. You may not like what they have done. You may not. You may be hurting over what they've done. But you staying in unforgiveness toward them. This is not an acceptance of the behavior and saying it's okay. You staying in bitterness and offense against them and unforgiveness is going to destroy you from the inside out. There are people right now that have cancer in their body. They have all kinds of malignant things and malfunctions going on in their body. And I can guarantee you that the majority of it comes from unhealed wounds. Stuff from your childhood, stuff from your past. And you're like, well, this hurt. This is painful. What they did wasn't right. I'm not saying it's right. But we have to take all of that and lay it down at the foot of Jesus and say, God, without your help, I cannot look at that person. And sometimes they're not even alive. I have people sit you know, anything, a phone, anything, in the chair and have them look at that and say, imagine that that's that person. And you're going to get to say to them what you couldn't say to them while they were alive or while they're in prison or whatever. I want you to speak your forgiveness out loud right now to that. And I see them break. We see it all the time in inner healing with Mama Dee and Neo sessions. Because there's a release of that poison. And there's a freedom. And in that moment, we see, you know, not literally, but figuratively, we see the prison door. That self-imposed prison that they have lived in, we see it fly open. And we've seen those people's lives turn around so radically through the act of forgiveness. And so I'm encouraging you right now, because God has so much more for you. He has so much more for your family. He has so much more. And not only that, the prayers that you're praying, he wants them to be effective. He needs people on the earth that know how to pray people out of sickness, pray them out of debt, pray them out of relational toxicity, pray them out. And I'm trying to help us to be more effective in prayer than we've ever been. Amen? So there are three important questions about the root of bitterness and how to get rid of it. And this is going to have to be a two-part sermon, I can already tell, because I'm running out of time. Question number one, what are the symptoms of the root of bitterness? From the root of bitterness springs the fruit of anger, wrath, ill-speaking, which is just talking crap, cursing, hatred, envy, and jealousy. Bitterness can also be the seed of many diseases, mental illnesses, and emotional instability. I feel like the pharmaceutical companies are medicating bitterness. You cannot drug bitterness out of somebody's soul. It just makes them crazier. You understand? Yeah. What they need is they need healing. Yeah. They need forgiveness. They need prayer. And they need to be set free from this thing. Anyways, it goes on. Many of these symptoms are treated with medication, drug, and alcohol addiction, even destructive behaviors. That's one. Question number two, what causes the root of bitterness? Often bitterness takes root when we are hurt by others or we think a situation we are put in is unjust or unfair. And bitterness starts when we cling to anger and resentment, start holding a grudge, and there it is, refuse to forgive. Question number three, How do you get rid of and free from the root and trap of bitterness? You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about traps. And I'm going to give you the list right here. But if you've ever trapped or hunted, how many of you have ever hunted with traps? My dad was a hunter. I went with him and set traps. And traps, you know, can be visible. If you don't know what it is, a lot of animals don't know what it is. But if you bait it right with the right stuff, you know, they'll look at it and they'll walk around. We watched them get in the traps. And they're tentative at first. But the lure in there is the food or whatever is put in there to trap them is so enticing that slowly, you know, they get closer and closer to it and you know, they'll reach up for it or whatever, and the trap closes on them. So traps can be visible. And there's something in there that's enticing you to walk into that trap. But most effective traps are hidden. You not only bait it, but you hide it. And Satan works in hiddenness. In fact, the occult means hidden. He doesn't always sit it right out in front of you like, you know, step in this. And hidden traps do not have to have bait in them. They just need to be hidden well. And I entitled this sermon, Don't Take the Bait. Satan knows how to get in your sphere and lay a trap for you that you don't even know is there. And you're just walking along with Jesus. You're just walking with the Lord. You're trying to walk it out. And all of a sudden, boom, you step in it. Here's what I've learned. God said he orders the steps of a good man. Yeah? God orders the steps, and God doesn't order you to step into the enemy's traps. He never will. That's why Jesus told us to pray, lead me not into temptation. Lead me not into the trap. Lead me not, but deliver me from the evil, for thine is the glory and the power forever. And you know, I'm constantly praying, God, let me see it. Let me see it before anyone else sees it. Show me the hidden things that are around me, the traps of the enemy. And the Lord has. And you know how he has? Because Jesus said, or Paul said, you need to be wise as a serpent. What does that mean? You need to start thinking like the devil. Be, I don't mean for, you know, permanently, but like, you need to know how he thinks. You need to know how he acts. Paul said, be wise as a serpent, but be harmless, come on, as a dove. Be like the Holy Spirit, but also know how the devil thinks. Know how he traps people. And this is what I'm trying to get you to do right now, because I don't want him tearing your family apart. I don't want him tearing our family apart. We have a beautiful family. We've never been more unified in any season of our life than we are right now. But if Jesus said offense is going to come, it's going to come. And I don't want any of you to take the bait. So how do we get rid of this bitterness? Number one, we begin with prayer, and we humble ourselves in God's presence. Humility. Humility is absolutely necessary. Pride is the root of all strife. You can't be in pride and see the traps. Why? Because pride blinds you. The deceived don't know they're deceived because they're deceived. And when you humble yourself, and you are also dealing with yourself, and stop looking for everyone else's flaws, and you say, God, this is a test for me, and I'm struggling right here. I've said it to the Lord many times. I'm struggling because I want to go give them a knuckle sandwich. Well, sometimes it's more than that. It's just a visit with my Glock. You know, I mean, I'm, you know, all of you anti-gun people, don't watch me. Just turn me off. I don't care. NRA. Hallelujah. Right? Don't act like you don't think it. I mean, sometimes it's just like, I lived in L.A. We had what's called road rage. You know, people were getting killed down there. You had to learn how to drive to survive. And there's, you know, and just, and yeah, it's bad sometimes. I'm like, well, then, and the Lord's like, stop. This is about you. You humble yourself, and you pray. And so, you know, I come in and I talk to God like David did. My enemies are after me, and they're, you know, swarming around me like bees. And, you know, it would be one thing if this was somebody that, you know, I didn't know. But this is my best friend. You ever read that psalm? David wrote this stuff down. And he was hurting. And many times he found himself in a pit where his wounds were just leaking. In fact, you can go read the whole story of him being in the cave. And he was just bitter. He was distressed. He was mad. He had, you know, Saul and his own son came against him, Absalom. Someday I'll preach that whole thing on the Absalom spirit. But he's hurt. And because he's in this place, guess who he starts to attract? Because you don't attract what you need and what you're asking for. You attract what you are. And so all the distressed and all the despairing and all these people who are just like toxic and leaking, they all gather with David in the cave. Mama used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Yeah? And pretty soon, everybody's airing out their grievances and they're all hanging out. Here's the good news of that story. David gets, finally he sees like, man, I'm in the wrong crowd. But he kind of created it, right? Go to the bar on any given day. No, don't do that. But like, just I mean, if you were to frequent a bar like I used to, you see the same people. And there's nothing worse than a person after they've had a few drinks telling the same story. I used to think the bartender must just have earplugs in going, yeah, yeah, because it's just the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, those are not happy families. You know, because Janet, you've been delivered from all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. And so rarely do you hear or see them humble themselves and go, well, you know, I contributed to this. It's always someone else's fault, right? It's my wife's fault. It's my husband's fault. It's my kid's fault. It's my employer's fault. And, you know, they just go on and blaming everyone else for what's happening to them. But they never take responsibility for what's happened through them. Mm-hmm. Nod at me like you believe what I'm saying this morning. I told you to buckle up. Okay. No accountability. And they just, you know, I get to sit here and be drunk and destroy my family. I get to not come to church anymore and just sit out and be bitter and talk against the people that I once loved and that love me and are praying for me. I get to sit here and be mad. I'm entitled to it. Yeah? And it's Rod's fault. Excuse me. It's Ken's fault. It's Mama Dee Dee's fault. You know you're going to hell if you blame her. That's God's wife, okay? You know you are. Hope no, maybe you don't, because the deceived don't know, because they're deceived, right? How many of you know, don't look at your wife or husband right now, but somebody who just is, just the blame game. The blame game. And there are people that are gifted, that God has anointed, and they belong in the house of God. They belong with their family. They belong in their position. They belong in the family. They're anointed and they belong, and they need to get delivered from the root of bitterness. God needs them. He needs them healed. He needs them well. And many of us look around at people that were once here, and what happened? The enemy got in, they got divorced, and now, you know, they're mad at God. If they aren't blaming you, they're blaming God. It's God's fault. I see y'all nodding at me real good right now. You can't change their mind. Only God can do that. But if you get offended because they're offended and they're blaming and they're just, you know, being pointy-headed little punks that you need to pray out of the pit, what I'm saying is don't get mad at them. Pray for them. Pray blessing over them. Pray love over them. Pray clarity over them. If you got to forgive them, forgive them. Say, Lord, I forgive them for their behavior. I feel the anointing so strong on me right now. Ask the Lord to show you anywhere pride has blinded you to the root of bitterness and its fruit is anger, hatred, jealousy, ill-speaking, cursing, contempt. Contempt, that's one of the black horsemen of the apocalypse to relationships. I'm telling you, contempt is when nothing you say is received. It comes out of your mouth and the person rolls their eyes like you have no right to breathe or talk. Mm-hmm. Contempt, going backwards, building walls, resenting others and God, etc. Ask the Lord if that's you. And then be honest. And if it is, humble yourself and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to blame everyone else out there. My daddy, the Reverend Ira Chalk, used to say, Vernie, don't you ever point your finger at anybody else because there is a bunch more coming back at you. You check these, and these, and you usually will take care of that. Get the, you know that scripture, you're trying to get the speck out of someone else's eye when you got a telephone pole hanging out of yours. I don't want nobody working on my eyes that has a telephone pole hanging out of their eye. Don't touch me. Don't touch my eye. You may be able to see the speck, but you need to take care of that before you start trying to work on me. Amen? You get that out of your eye. And so the final step, and this is vital, and it's the only way we get free, and I'm going to land on this today. I was going to do communion, which is a really great opportunity to guilt trip everybody. And I'm kidding. Just kidding. No, maybe next week we'll do that one, okay? Bring your friends. It's going to be great. It's a great day to visit. Here's the thing. Communion is so important. And I would encourage you to take communion when you get to this place where you say, Lord, I forgive them, and I'm not going to hold resentment toward them. I'm not going to hold resentment toward you. I may not understand why you didn't intervene in this situation. Many people go, if God is good, why does he let this stuff happen to me? There it is again, to me, to me, to me, to me. Well, you're not the center of the universe. He cares about your pain. But everything doesn't get to be about you. And this is what happens when you're offended, is that everything becomes about you. I tell myself all the time, you're not a victim, Verna. This does not get to be about you. Most of the time, when people are upset with me, it's because they're mad at God in me. In fact, Solomon said, the wicked hate the righteous. The wicked resent the righteous. And I'm not saying the person is wicked. I'm just saying the wicked one who's trying to hold them in captivity hates the God in you. Oh, he is afraid of love because love disarms him. Love whipped his butt over 2,000 years ago at the cross. Love took his little squirt gun away from him. Love disarmed him. The Bible says that love, God disarmed every principality and power of darkness. He took away all of their strength at the cross when he shed his blood for a bunch of sinners like us that have been saved by God's grace. Amen? And so we need to visit the cross. We need to say to the Lord, wow, here I am, Lord, someone who was undeserving of all your mercy and grace. And you could have resented me. You could have withheld your love from me. So thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace toward me. And right now, I don't have to feel it to do it. This is a key. Because many times we want to feel love for people. We want to feel good about forgiving them. We want to feel like it really worked. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, okay, I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to feel like it's done. I want to encourage you with this. You probably won't feel like it worked. You got to faith it. You have to do it by faith, and you have to believe it. That's it. We walk by faith, not by feelings. And when we say, God, I believe you forgave me with every fiber of my being. I believe you died on the cross and you forgave me of all my sins. I believe that. And right now, I believe that the mercy that you gave to me, I can give to someone else. I don't have to have warm, fuzzy feelings. I don't have to get up, and feel like, whoo, the heavens, opened and just I've got these warm, fuzzy feelings toward them. No, I don't need all that, Lord. What I need to know is that your word is true toward me, and I believe that. And right now, I believe as I release this word of forgiveness, you are going to break me free from the prison of offense and bitterness. And God, I believe you're going to heal my heart. You're going to heal my soul, and you're going to use me as an agent of healing in my family. Help me not to act all bristled and weird the next time I'm around them. Yeah? I humble myself, Lord. I need your strength to do this. And we say it. I'm going to get a mass deliverance going right now. Come on, stand up. Come on. We're going to do this as we leave. Say, I choose to forgive them. And Lord, you know who thems are. I choose to believe that you forgave me of all my sins. I choose to forgive them of all their sins. against me. I believe I am free of the bait and the trap of the enemy. I speak healing over myself and my family, and I thank you in Jesus' name that they will be free too. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, the team is going to be here. Otherwise, use that. Use it this week, because I guarantee you, you'll get an opportunity to. Amen. Love you guys.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.